Go to the book of Exodus this evening, Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to discuss this subject, allowing God to use me, allowing God to use me. If you are a child of God, if you're a Christian, you have a desire to do something for the Lord. I believe that is something that happens the moment you get saved. You want God to be moving and working and directing in your life, and He will do all of those things. And then the only person that gets in the way is me. I had a conversation on Friday night with some friends of ours just about that very subject of how God moves and the things that He does that oftentimes don't make sense in a moment, and our eyes can't see it, as the song said. So we need God to help work in our heart to show us. Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to talk about Moses tonight. And this is really the beginning of God working with him. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 1 says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. We're introduced to Moses in the previous chapter. That's where we find out who he is and begin our journey with him through his life. I can't imagine having the world read about my walk with the Lord. I would find that embarrassing for all the failures that I've had. But Moses, we get to read his life. We get to read the arguments he has with the Lord. We get to read all of those inner thoughts that he thought about himself. All the reasons that he said he could not do what God was asking him to do. Exodus chapter 2, as a way of introduction, verses 11 and 12, says this, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren, and looking on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." If you go over to Hebrews chapter 11, in the chapter on faith, some people call it the Great Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." I've heard many pastors and teachers say that, you know, that Moses here did this horrible thing and murdered this man, and it is a horrible thing, and it is a terrible thing. We still look down on it in our society. People still go to jail. They're put to death for it. But I believe this was Moses' reaction to choosing what God wanted for his life. He didn't even know how to live like an Israelite. He just knew that he was. And he had come to the place in his life where all the things that were in his heart and in his head from his mother, Moses had to make a choice on who he was. Spoke to the young people over Zoom on a Thursday night on the idea of influence. You understand that this wasn't a happenstance in the life of Moses. This choice that he made is a direct choice from direct influence in his life. These weren't thoughts that he just came up with on his own. He knew who he was, and the Lord began to deal with him, and he decided, and rather to be used up by the world, he was going to be used by God. Now, as we all are as humans, he went about it in a really weird way. I haven't really ever heard of anybody deciding to serve the Lord so to go murder someone. Really not something that we recommend. But it's what Moses did because he was so distraught and so angry at the way that his people were being treated. But that was the beginning in his choice. He chose affliction rather than the pleasure that the world offers. He wanted to be used by God. And so he begins the journey in chapter 2. Notice if you go down to verse 21 in chapter 2. Here he is, and he had come to, he didn't know it, but his future wife there at the well, verses 17, 18, and 19. And verse 21, it says, Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. As we have an introduction to Moses, notice he chooses God, but then he finds a place of contentment. He finds a place where Moses, understanding that he grew up with the palace, he was used to the best of everything, and now he is simply a shepherd in the backside of the desert, according to chapter 3 and verse 1. He is not in a great, beautiful location. He is just doing mundane work, working as a shepherd. But he found contentment in what he was doing. And I believe that speaks volumes to us. We have to be able to, as human beings, find some contentment in where we are, what our job is, where we are as a family. And we need to settle in where we are. And then chapter 3, guess who shows up? God showed up in the moment that Moses was content in where he was. We get into the whole thought of who this is. Look at verse 23. It says, it came to pass in the process of time. The bad thing about this point in his life, we don't get that much information. Of a biblical transporter of time is that phrase, the process of time. This was poor employment for him. He wasn't living an extravagant life, but he was satisfied with where he was. The Bible says this about Moses in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Now Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. You see, Moses already knew what the world offered, so he wasn't interested in that. He was interested in the Lord, which we see in chapter 3. Notice in verse number 2 this evening, if I'm going to allow God to use me, I number one have to have curiosity. Now, we all know that curiosity killed the cat, but that's in the life of a cat, which they're demon-possessed anyway, so that makes sense to me. Curiosity, verses 2 and 3. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of the fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. I had a thought the other day, who did he say that to? But I guess when you're alone with a sheep, you probably talk to the sheep. So he probably said that to a sheep as he said, I will now turn aside and see this bush. Notice in his curiosity, it's not in what you see. The bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. But that wasn't what God wanted him to know. That wasn't what God wanted him to see. God didn't need Moses to know that I can make a bush burn and not consume. That wasn't the information that God was trying to get across to him. That was just what he used to get his attention, and it worked. Moses was curious what this was about. It's what you don't see. It's the angel of the Lord that is present. It is God that is present. And if we are not curious about what God wants for our lives and the direction that He wants us to go. And that's not just a choice that I made at teen camp. That's not a choice that I made at a church service. That's not a choice that I made during my Bible reading. That is an everyday choice of being curious of what does God want for me today. We do need to make big milestone choices in our life. Those are important. I spoke to the teens about that. Proverbs 29:25 is a verse that literally changed my life. That is a milestone in my life. But it wasn't the last time that I went back to God and said, what do you want for my life? I want to be used by you. It's a choice that you make. You will daily have to turn aside and see what God wants. If you've been in this church for any amount of time, you've heard this.
You need to read your Bible. Why? Because in that moment, in the Word of God, you are given an opportunity in your day to stop and turn aside from the world and see what God would have for you today. We don't put days together. We have a schedule. We have a calendar. But we don't put our day together. God puts our day together. And we never know what will happen halfway through our day or at the end of our day. The phone ringing for a lot of people has borne a lot of bad news that completely changed the day. If I'm not curious about what God may want for me. And know this, God works in stages. He will work on me and then let me go and let me settle. And then He'll come back and work on me and let me go and let me settle. So God is continually pushing and prodding and seeing where I want to go, where I'm willing to go, what I'm willing to give up, how humble I am willing to be. But my curiosity goes a long way and allowing God to speak to me. If Moses was not curious, the angel of the Lord would have never spoken. How do we know? Verse 4. And when the Lord saw, God was watching to see whether Moses was going to stop and pay attention to what he was doing to try to get his attention. I have to be curious. But secondly, in verse 4, it says, the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he answered, here am I. Here's the conversation. I have to be curious. That has to be a part of that. But then there's going to have to be a conversation. God and I are going to have to go back and forth. The conversation first after the turn. There's no conversation before the turn. The angel of the Lord is not yelling at Moses from the bush. Hey, come over here. I want to speak to you. Hey, come over here. I got to say something great to you. He's not saying that. He is just letting the bush burn and not be consumed and watching that curiosity work. And as soon as Moses turns, God calls out to him. James chapter 4 verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. That is a biblical principle that God shows us in the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. When Moses turned and drew nigh to God, God then drew nigh to him and began to talk to him and began to work personally in his life. Go over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and let's grab verse 39. There's going to have to be a conversation after I turn. But here is what God is looking for, and Jesus Christ is a great example of this. Luke chapter 22, and let's look at verse 39. It says, and he came out and went as he was wont, so it was a habit for Jesus to do this, to the Mount of the Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. Notice two things here in this conversation that he is having with God. In this conversation, he submits to what God wants him to do. And after he is submitted to what God wants him to do, an angel comes and strengthens him for the task. We're oftentimes so concerned that I can't do, and in chapter 3 and in chapter 4, God is going to get into that conversation with Moses of all the reasons of why he can't do it. And Jesus Christ is such a great illustration of coming to God and saying, I know you want to do this, and I know you want to do it through me, but I don't think I can, but if that's what you want, I'm on board. And if you will do that, and if you will submit yourself and be humble to the direction that God wants you to go, God will give you the strength to do it. But too many times we're not even curious enough to have a conversation to see what God may want from us.
Note, there is the conversation after the turn, but this conversation is personal. He turns to this bush that is burning but not consumed, and someone says his name two times out of that bush. And his response is, "Here am I." John 10 verse 3 says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." God is not vague. So many times in my life, I've heard about this mystical thing called the will of God. And how it's this, it comes in like a fog, and we're not really sure how it comes or how it goes. I know how it comes and I know how it goes. It comes and goes, and it's based on my walk with Him. And it's based on my humble spirit with Him. It's based on my curiosity with Him. And if I'm not curious with Him, and if I don't want to talk to Him, He is not going to force Himself on me to talk to me. But when I'm curious, and when I want to have a conversation, you know what He does? He knows my name, and He talks to me personally. And He speaks to me like He speaks to no other human being. Moses comes and he turns to this bush. And he hears his name. You know what he knows instantaneously? He knows who is speaking. There is no question. There is no argument. He knows that it is his God who is now speaking to him. Notice verse 5. "And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground." Notice, thirdly tonight, there's the compliance. There has to be the curiosity for me as a human being to want the God of the universe to work in my life and to work in my heart and to mold me as the clay that I am into the image that He wants. That has to be there. That's the foundation of it. I then have to be willing to have a conversation and at least see what He wants. And then once I jump in there, here's where it all goes or comes or stays or leaves. It's all about the compliance of it. It's all about me realizing that this just isn't a bush that is burning and not consumed. This is a place that where God is. This is a moment in which God is dwelling. And I am not worthy as His creation to sit in His presence and to have this conversation with Him. But here in this compliance, Moses is reminded of who he is. He must keep his distance, but he must draw near, but not too near. He has to be near enough to hear what God is saying, but he can't be so near that he's now prying into what God is trying to do. It's that area of humility where I am submitting and giving God all the room that He needs to work. His conscience, because of the curiosity, God knows this, his conscience must be satisfied. But I know this about myself. God is not going to satisfy all of my curious questions. God knows that I will be curious and that I will delve in and that I will look. But God knows this about me. If God gives me all of the answers to all of the questions that are in my head, I won't go down the road that He wants me to go down. I will withdraw myself and stand back as if humanly I'm going to protect myself against what God is going to do with me. And that doesn't even make sense. But God knows that about us. Care must be taken that familiarity in this area doesn't breed contempt. You cannot come to this place and just sit and talk with your buddy. This wasn't Moses' buddy. This was Moses' God. This was Moses' creator. And he turns aside just for a moment to sit and to let his God mold him and to let his God do something in him. And if I'm going to take steps as a Christian, my age doesn't matter. God is not, age doesn't, Caleb is 85 years old when they get into the land and he still wanted God to move. He still wanted God to change him. He still had expectations of God using an 85-year-old man. My length of time in church, my length of time of being saved, doesn't matter. You know what matters? How curious are you about your God?
Do you think humanly you've seen it all? Do you feel like you've been down every avenue and every way that God could possibly take you? I say to you that you're wrong tonight. You haven't seen every path. You haven't gone down every alleyway. You haven't seen the back roads that your God travels and tries to get you to move, and He tries to coordinate your life, and He tries to put things in your life to make you curious that you just walk by. Got to wonder in my life, how many places has God put things there for me to see and for me to behold? No one else was going to see it, but He put it there for me, and He wanted me to notice, and He wanted me to turn aside because He wanted to have a conversation with just me. See, because my God is personal. He sent His Son. He didn't send His Son to die for you. He sent Him to die for me. He died for my sin. And we would be better Christians if we would get back to the place of compliance in our life and realize that God is always working. God doesn't take days off. God doesn't take moments off. He is always pushing, and He is always prodding. He's always leaning on us because He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Notice lastly tonight in verse 6. He said, moreover, He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And notice Moses' response. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The compliance was the reminder of who Moses was. But this credibility is a reminder of who God is. Don't you think that the stories that his mother Jochebed told him rang true in his heart? You know how much Jochebed tried to put in this little boy while she had him? Do you know how many stories she told him? Do you know how many things about God that she told him, because she knew she only had a small window of time before he was going to go to the palace? It rings true for me on Mother's Day. I stand here today because of a mom who just put things into me and put things into me. And you know what she was trying to do? She was trying to push that curiosity for God. She never told me what a relationship with God was. I just watched her live it. My dad is in his 70s, still pastoring today. He's preaching right now. And you know what he's never lost? He's never lost his curiosity for God. You heard Pastor John's dad pray in church this morning. You know what Mr. Marshall's never lost? He's never lost his curiosity for God. We need to be reminded who God is. Deuteronomy 11:19 says, "Ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them while thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." Mom and Dad, are we instilling curiosity into our kids about anything besides Disney Plus? Besides the next game for their Xbox? Is there any place in our home where we as parents are trying to make our kids curious about who this mystical God is that we pray to? Is there anything that is burning inside of you that you want your kids to fall in love with your God? Well, that happens when you talk about your curiosities with God. And you talk about how God worked in your life. Moses knew there was a God, and he was his God. And his curiosity brought him to this place. He tells him, he says, I am the God of thy father. His father's name is Amram. I don't know what his relationship with him is or was. I have no idea. But it rang true with Moses. He said, I'm the God of thy father. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. And I'm the God of Jacob. Matthew Henry said, the more we see of God, the more cause we shall see to worship Him with reverence and godly fear. God was trying to bring Moses back to a place of connection. He was trying to connect him from every point and bring him back to a place where he could use him. Go to chapter 3, verse 1, and then grab Exodus 17, verse 7. When Moses is coming through the wilderness here,
In chapter 1, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and it came to the mountain of God, even to where? To Horeb." It comes to Horeb. Go to Exodus chapter 17. God has now brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And in chapter 17, the people begin to murmur against Moses. They're upset because they don't have water. To go to verse number 5, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock where? In Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. God brings Moses back to the very place where that curiosity turned him aside to the burning bush. And God brings him back to the rock at Horeb, and he brings the elders of Israel, and the elders of Israel get to see the God of Moses that speaks out of a burning bush. The elders of Israel got to see God provide a need of water out of a rock. Why? Because Moses had been curious about a burning bush. And Moses wanted God to use him. And Moses wanted God to do something with him. And God is trying to instill this in his people, that he is alive and he is working and he is interested in them. Notice verse 7. It said he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord in saying, and notice this question. So here's the collective thought of the children of Israel. Is the Lord among us or not? God had brought them out of Israel. They had crossed the Red Sea. And they come to a place where they have no water. And their only question is, I don't even know if God's here. You know what happened? They lost their curiosity for God. They'd forgotten the things that God had done for them. Spurgeon said this, "God uses people who fail because there aren't any other kind around." We are going to fail, and God knows that. But you know what God wants from us? He wants that curiosity. He wants those moments in our life where we are yielding and we want to have the conversation. And he will remind us through great and mighty things that he does that he still is God. And he wanted the children of Israel to know in Exodus chapter 17 that he is God. And he is there among them. Tozer said this, "An infinite God can give all of himself to each of his children. He does not distribute himself that each may have a part. But to each one he gives all of himself as fully as if there were no others." God wants you and I to have the same amount of God in our life. Position does not matter with God. God wants you as his child and me as his child to walk with him in the same fullness. God wanted a relationship with Moses. He wanted him to know that he was his God, that he was the God of his father, that he was the God of his ancestors. And when they came to this place at Horeb, he wanted all of the children of Israel to know that that God is still the same God. And that God still wants to work. And that God still wants to be powerful. And that God still wants the ability to move in your heart and in your life. If you don't feel like you have all of God, it's not because God didn't give him all of himself to you. It's because of this. We've lost our curiosity. We've lost the ability to be on the lookout for the things that God does that he wants us to stop and notice. And they're not going to be big, flashy things all the time. Sometimes it may be just a verse. Sometimes it may be just a part of a verse of a song. But God is always working. He is always moving. And he is always waiting on to see whether we're curious enough to pause in the busyness of our life. Have you noticed this about yourself in the past few months? That not being so busy and not being so crazy is actually a wonderful thing. And that the calm and the stillness
God loves to work there. God loves to speak there. So here's my challenge for you tonight. Where's your curiosity? If you were to walk by a bush that is burning and not consumed, would you have to just stop and take a video and post it on the gram? Would you just want to take a picture or a little video and to send it to your family and say, look at this cool thing that I saw? Or would it pass through your mind that maybe your God would want to just stop and just talk to you? If I'm thinking right and my heart is right with my God, in those moments I think of Him. And I want to stop and talk to Him. But in the moments where I'm full of self, and Moses had them, in the moments where I'm drifting between this thing and that thing and I have to go here and my calendar is directing my life more than my Bible, I miss those moments where God just wants me to stop and recognize Him in my day. I miss the moments where He wants to stop and give me something that will help me. Church has been wonderful the past 2 weeks. We've come in and sat and just had church and sang together and heard the preaching of the Word of God. No busyness. What a wonderful thing. But even with that, did you get what God wanted for you? Curiosity. Pastor, would you come? Father, we're thankful for your goodness. Thankful for how you work. God, I pray that you would help us to be like Moses. To be interested enough in who you are, to act upon it, and to do something with what we hear. And God, that we would just give you the space to be used by you. God, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. We're thankful for what you've done in our church during this time. God, I pray that you wouldn't leave us alone, but you would continue to work. You would continue, God, to be there in the forefront of our minds and of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.